You're on the Mike and Abe Show, and today is Friday, March the 4th, and Mike is at JFK, right, Mike?
I'm at JFK watching the seagulls fly, and the JFK is moving and enjoying the $4 new surcharge.
Yeah, it's March. Yeah. Is it helping?
You know what it is? It's helping, but it has, in fact, drawn a lot of cab drivers to the airport. It's amazing how these guys think. It's like you put a little inky-dinky $4 on the meter, then to them it's like, it's like they won the lottery. It's unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, but it has gotten cabs out here. In my opinion, it's gotten a little bit too many cabs out here because we're just, like, sitting around.
Yeah. I hear that the other day you got held up for 4 hours at the airport.
Actually, if I would have got held up, I probably would have saved money. But here's what happened.
Yeah.
I had a trip into Queens. I went into LaGuardia, had a ride into Brooklyn, finished the ride into Brooklyn at about, 10 o'clock, right? So I said, okay, well, 10 o'clock, I guess I'll go to JFK because there's still some late flights coming in. So I go to JFK. Wait about an hour in the main lot for cab drivers at JFK, and I'm dispatched to the terminal. Now, there's Terminal 4, which is so-so, and then there's Terminal 8, which has a big L.A. flight and a big San Francisco flight, separate planes, coming in at the exact same time. So I didn't get dispatched to Terminal 8. They sent me to Terminal 4 at JFK, which is usually hustler paradise. But here's what happened. As soon as I got to Terminal 4, I didn't see any of the hustlers there. I didn't see any of the fake Uber guys with the bogus sign for Uber in the window. Just a bunch of yellow cabs. And then I said to myself, uh-oh, I didn't like the looks of that because it was slow. And then I see the two dispatchers sitting in the dispatch booth, chatting away, blah, 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 like it's their own little like apartment because they're like college kid age. And then the time keeps clicking and clicking and clicking. And then we're supposed to be out of there into another terminal if you wait more than 20 minutes at the terminal. So 20 minutes becomes half an hour, still nothing. Then I see the dispatcher van, like they have a shuttle van that change shifts. So the two little lovebirds jump into the van, are whisked away, and replaced with another dispatcher. So this now we're into like waiting 45 minutes at the terminal, not even in the lot, but at the terminal. So I've invested now foolishly, an hour and 45 minutes, not to mention the time going out there at JFK. So I finally get a job. One guy in front of me is going to the city. Another guy in back of me is going to the city. And me, I get a couple of guys going to one of these little hotels right outside the airport for $15. And a guy gives me a shorty ticket, which is ridiculous because there's no more flights. And I can't get to go back to the front of the line unless I want to really lose my mind and wait till 4 o'clock in the morning. So this is probably the third or fourth time this week where a couple of dispatchers have overbooked cabs from the main lot for their own convenience so they can just sit and text and do their little Facebook stuff inside their little dispatch kiosk, totally not giving a spit about the drivers sitting there for half an hour, just for their convenience so they don't have to be bothered with dispatching cabs, which I guess they don't like to do, even though they're getting paid as a dispatcher. I guess they don't want to dispatch cabs; they just want to sit there. So I guess in their mind, they're the big winner if they just sit there.
Well,
and I don't know. I don't want to be a house rat, but I'm thinking of going to their terminal or going to the Gateway Taxi Dispatch Company that has the contract, because this is going on and on and on. Where you wait in the main lot, you're supposed to only wait like maybe 5 or 10 minutes in Zoom. You're into the city, but this is just going on with a couple of dispatchers who have their winning formula of calling for too many cabs so they can sit and play with their Facebook. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. There are times when the one terminal might be busy and another terminal might not be busy, right?
Right.
So maybe there's some kind of game going on here, you know, where they're purposely sending you to a terminal that isn't busy and making it appear as if there are less cabs at the airport.
You read my mind. I was wondering, it's kind of like in this business, if it's really something stupid, then there's a chance that there's some corruption involved.
Right.
Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, because I know for a fact that the Terminal 8, right after midnight, they do have an L.A. flight and a San Francisco flight, between the two planes, I'm talking like over 1,000 people, of which maybe, you know, like maybe like 700 of them are looking for cabs. And then another thing happened where, aside from this nonsense at JFK, Terminal 5 is just constantly blockaded with these cars, just mountains of cars coming in to meet their friends. And a lot of them are like Hustler and Uber cars who are squashing into one lane. And I'm wondering if they're purposely doing that to just blockade the cabs out of the airport. It's really getting weird out here, man.
So, Mike, what do you want to talk about on today's show?
Well, we just talked about the JFK fiasco. Do you have any more information about that wheelchair stuff? I'll throw you back to you for some.
I received a letter this week from the president of a group from www.wavetaxi.com. Okay, and they're looking for drivers to rally up in Albany. They want a line of wheelchair accessible vehicles to drive up there. You know,
Yeah. I mean, so the guys who aren't making money are going to take a day off to drive up to Albany. Is that what's happening?
Well, you know, they want to emphasize the point that Uber cars should be wheelchair accessible.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, the other thing is with the Uber cars, how many physical Uber cars are there? Because I see a lot of this app stuff. I mean, how many physical vehicles does Uber control? Because I don't think they have that many actual cars.
Yeah, but
it's just a bunch of knuckleheads.
But it's not a matter of how many they can control. It's a matter of how many of these cars that they don't control should be wheelchair accessible. Okay?
You're preaching to the choir. Like I said, it's these guys have their hooks into everything, and they're going to be demonstrating in front of people who have probably gotten tons of money from Uber, because God knows our guys spend very little, and it's disgusting because they don't protect their own interests. But I wish them luck. But if you think you're going to get cab drivers to drive up to Albany in wheelchair accessible vehicles, you're dreaming.
Let me ask you this: are you seeing a lot more wheelchair accessible taxis on the street?
Yeah, I mean, I see the Bloomberg's little cab of the future van being outfitted more and more for wheelchair accessible. What I don't see is I don't see customers. I don't see any wheelchair people at all in these cars. I mean, I talked to one lady. She says they like the AccessoRide. The AccessoRide has a car. AccessoRide has a van. They like the MTA bus. There aren't that many wheelchair customers for the yellow cabs. I mean, they haven't gotten the word out that it's an available option. And there's no place to pick these people up also. Where can you pick up? They don't have any designated pickup points for people in wheelchairs. It's so stupid.
Well, 50% of the cars that are being put on the road now, of the new cars that are being put on the road, are supposed to be wheelchair accessible. Okay, so this began on the first of the year. Okay, so now we're in the third month of the year. So, you know, usually there's a bunch of, you know, so many cars per week that are brand new put on the road.
Yeah.
Okay, could be 50, could be 100, could be could be less. I don't know the.
Well,
exact,
I got news.
Yeah.
Well, we should get the exact number, because I'll tell you something else. A lot of these disabled people, they also have the motorized wheelchairs that go 20 and 30 miles an hour. And I think the only people, a lot of the people I see on the street with the regular wheelchairs that you push by hand, are the crackheads who are faking that they're paralyzed, begging for change on the street. So they're the only ones that I see on the street now using the old-style wheelchair. And the MTA is throwing this to us because somebody told me that the MTA hydraulics for lifting these wheelchairs were only designed for wheelchairs that maybe weigh like 50 pounds, right? And the new motorized wheelchairs, these people come rolling on in their motorized wheelchairs, they weigh 200 and 300 pounds, and it keeps popping out the lift on the buses, taking the bus out of service. Has to get fixed and recalibrated for hydraulics or whatever. So there's a lot going on there. And I'll tell you, some of these cab drivers are not in the best shape to be lifting people in wheelchairs. So at what point do the cab drivers start getting their backs, sprained or, tearing a muscle or something, helping? Let's say you get like an obese person in a wheelchair. Well, the guy's got to be Schwarzenegger to lift the person in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of, I think it's me, my personal opinion, I think the whole thing's a scam, and I think there's just a couple of people selling stuff who are making a ton of money, and forcing the cab drivers to do this, and God forbid you don't do it, then you're a monster. That's my cynical view, but I don't think it's too cynical. You think what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, let me read you this letter that I got, and I put on the on our website, NYC Taxi News. Next Tuesday, right. March 8th, that's a few days from now, okay?
Right.
Disability advocates from across the whole state will be in Albany to meet with legislators in opposition of S4280A and A6090A because it would allow Uber and similar taxi companies, calling a spade, you know, calling Uber a taxi company, which they deny right. They are, right? They call themselves TNCs, to discriminate against right. People who are disabled. I am going to be going in support of both. Okay, when I say I, this is the president of this organization, Mark Longo, okay? He's writing this letter. I am going to be going in support of both, as I've worked with the taxi industry all across the country to help normalize and expand accessible taxi service, as well as having family that live with disabilities. Could I please ask that you spread the word and ask for support in having others attend? I've obtained national support of the CTAA, that's the Community Transportation Association of America, representing 4,000 members across the U.S. I've also reached out to President Kynes of TLPA, that's the Taxi and Limousine Paratransit Association, and expect to also have taxi interests from Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Maryland, and Connecticut being there in support. Ideally, a caravan of accessible taxis going to Albany would make a statement, especially if it has drivers from other cities across the U.S. I have the year of media from each city and will look to expand on it if we can obtain participation. Okay, so he's asking.
Well, here's how that would work. You'd have to guarantee the cab drivers, like some of these demonstrators. They pay their demonstrators now. That's a new thing. Tell the cab drivers, say, listen, if you go up to Albany, I will waive the lease for the day. See if the owners do that. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, no, no, no. That's what they're going to say.
Well, that's what you're saying, Mike, okay? You know, I sent this out to a lot of people in the industry, and I got a little bit of a positive reaction from it, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to mention any names, all right? And let's see what happens.
Well, look, I mean, if they wanted the driver to go up there with the cab, the absolute very least that the guy who owns the cab should do is say, okay, if you drive up, I'll blow off the lease for the day.
Well, like maybe they will.
Okay, I'll get rid of.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they will?
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about our old friend? We supported you. You think
oh,
you
come
would do
on,
that?
Come on, Mike. You know, I mean, you know, there are good and bad in everywhere, okay? And there may
I know,
be,
I know.
There may be some taxi owners out there that are willing to sacrifice a day, you know, to get what they need in the long run.
No, I don't know. You're dealing with people who, you know, they throw nickels around like manhole covers when it's something for their interests. But if the TLC tells them to send $1,000, they do it like no problem. I mean, this is the bizarro world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy to get like 1,000 cabs, which theoretically would work, to drive up to Albany, I'll tell you something else. I'm just surprised that Uber gets away with this stuff like they do. Where's the disabled people? They have for years been picking on us. I'll say it. The disabled leaders and their followers have been picking on the yellow cab drivers, making us out to be monsters in the media. Like, oh, you don't want to pick up the disabled. I was like, no, we're running a business. If you give me $60 per person per ride, which the city has been paying apparently for 20 years, I will have no problem picking up people in wheelchairs. I mean, I will, you know, strap them to the roof. I'll pick up 100 people in wheelchairs.
Well, you know, Mike,
per person per ride.
Mike, let me tell you something that I didn't know that I just recently found out. And that's whoever is driving a wheelchair accessible taxi now is getting paid 50 cents for every trip they do, whether there's people in a wheelchair or not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sound good?
Now this is what we haven't heard.
No.
And you know,
no,
this is another thing with the cab.
Well, this is what I have recently come to be aware of.
Okay, an epiphany.
Yeah. An epiphany.
And you know what these guys do? If it's something that involves them making money, they're like Daffy Duck. They don't tell you. If it's something that's good for them where they're making more money now, they will tell nothing.
Well,
they want to keep all
well
the money
if you go out with a wheelchair accessible taxi and you do 30 trips,
yeah,
whether there's people in wheelchairs or not, you're going to get $15.
Uh-huh. So you get another $100 a week. So that's
yeah,
great.
And if you're getting 40 trips, you're gonna get $20. So
from this fund, you're saying?
Yeah, from these.
Right, listen. I'm rolling. I got to cut. I'll call you back. I'm going out of the airport. Just hold that thought, and I'll call you back after I finish. Bye.
Mike and Abe Show Part 2. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Sunday. And the last we heard from Mike, he was riding around Kennedy Airport trying to figure out where his fare was. Okay,
as always, we
finally got a hold of him. You know, he was somewhere up in Connecticut, I think. Okay, trying to get paid for the fare, right?
Trying to get
paid
for me?
Yeah.
you get mixed up with someone else. I'll tell you one thing. I haven't gone out of town. I've gone out of town once in the last 5 weeks from the city or from Kennedy or from anywhere because. Apparently, the Uber guys are working for free, and they've got all these little weird car services, and gypsies are stealing the out-of-town jobs. And I'll tell you something, man. The gateway dispatching person at Kennedy Airport, whoever got that contract, the last year and a half has been pure hell for cabbies. And I'll tell you something else that got me kicked off the other day at JFK. I don't know if I said that before the break, but did I say about my little escapade waiting in front of the terminal?
Yeah, I think we went through that.
All right, so, but that's the fact. They go to the terminal, and then you have to wait at the terminal so a couple of dispatchers can text, which is ridiculous. Very important. This news just came in about some cabbie in, and it wasn't really a bad part of Brooklyn. It was right in, North 5th or something like that, where all the hipsters are. He picked up a couple of guys, or three guys, in quotes, and they go, we don't have any money, but we're going downtown to blah, blah, blah. He goes, all right, get in, no problem. He said, just give me, like, $10. So between three guys, they don't have any money, right? So in his wisdom, he left them in the car at 3 o'clock in the morning, which he's a better man than me because they probably looked like they were drunk or on drugs or something too. And you don't have to pick up people who are drunk or on drugs. And so they get in the car, and they go down to Williamsburg, not in a bad neighborhood, and as two of them get out, say thank you. He gives them a free ride. He goes, you don't got to give me nothing. It's a free ride. And then the third guy gets out, and he slashes him across the face, like a little jailhouse puppy, as they call him in jail. Slashes him across the street with a gang initiation. And De Blasio and Bratton were all months trying to say that all of the slashings, it's random. No, it's not random. It's gang initiation. It's called Buck 50. That's what they call the face slashing for gang initiation. It's called giving them $150, which means you need 150 stitches.
How do you know this?
Gash in your face. I've done some homework. I do some homework. You know that, right?
Yeah, but where did you get this information?
It's on the internet. They had gang initiations, and part of gang initiations, like let's say up till about 10 years ago when we had Giuliani and then Bloomberg who were great on crime, and then we get this wacko Bratton and De Blasio in who are horrible on crime, and they called the gangs apparently gave it the little name giving someone $150, which means you slash him in the face, and the guy usually needs about 100 or 150 stitches to close the wound.
Mm.
So the $150 gang initiations have now crept into the yellow cabs. God help us. And we have, go ahead.
What kind of weapon do they use?
They use a box cutter.
A box cutter.
Because I guess they're cracking down on the guns. So I guess they don't have guns anymore. Maybe they do. But the part of the gang initiation is just to go up to somebody who is not a criminal, not a threat. So they go after like women and cabbies, and they're total pussies and cowards. That's what they are, and they need to be in jail. And these judges keep letting them out, and now we have some poor cabbie, like a 50-year-old cab driver, has a slash in his face after giving a free ride out of the goodness of his heart to three losers off the street.
Mm.
So this is where we are. This is what I wake up to today. So I'm sorry to
yeah. This was in the newspapers earlier this week. Okay.
Right.
All right. Yeah, this isn't the first time hearing about this, but I haven't heard it from your point of view.
Well, that's what I did a little search. I was searching on Google, face-slashing gang initiation. I was like, because it's all, so many of the same exact MO, like modus operandi. And then sure enough, mostly in L.A., they call it Buck 50. Like, you know, like they think they're in a rap video or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gang initiation, and it involves slashing someone in the face with a straight razor to show that you're, like, a mean person.
Well, it's kind of like when we were in high school, we used to have to pledge for fraternity admittance. So this is sort of like the initiation into the gang. You know, you have to show that you're willing to go out and do that kind of activity.
Well, I mean, this is the other thing. It's like they specifically want them to go after someone who's like an innocent, like a mother or a cabbie,
right,
or an old lady, to show that they're really insane versus just going after... I mean, God forbid they go after another gang member. You know, they're not going to do that because they're a bunch of cowards. So they go after the innocents, and I don't know. Maybe it's time to get open carry permits for cabbies in New York City. I'm sure that'll go right away.
I don't know. You know, when I was in a grade school in Brooklyn, PS 221 on Empire Boulevard, okay, still there, the school, okay, my sixth grade teacher used to talk about something called gang psychology, and what he and the point he was emphasizing is there are things that people will do in when others are around them that they would never think to do by themselves.
Yeah, like the pack mentality. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, this
well,
is. This,
I'll tell you. It's yeah. Like, yeah. At what time does the pack mentality of millions of hardworking New Yorkers and the NYPD get together and say, listen, just put these guys in jail, because it's the same guys over and over, and they keep getting turned loose by these judges. They just keep throwing them back onto the street. These guys are getting arrested 30 and 40 times. It's, you know, I mean, what is that?
Well, look, you know, we're not going to solve the ills of society here today.
Yes, we are.
Well,
that's why we're doing the show.
Yeah, but you know, you have to vote for the right people that will enact some sort of legislation or appoint the correct judges, you know, that will take care of this. All right.
Yeah. Well, look, all I know is Trump looks like he's on his way to winning the White House, and we're probably the only show on the planet who hasn't done anything about Trump. So.
Well, you know,
you won again yesterday.
You know,
what happens? You get these kids running. You get these kids running around slashing people's faces,
uh-huh.
And then the society jumps to the right.
Well, what
so,
do you think?
I mean, I hate to say.
I'm sorry. What do you think Trump would do if he was mayor of New York City?
He'd probably put de Blasio in jail. And he'd probably de Blasio and Bratton would be gone in a nanosecond, but I'll tell you. And then de Blasio came out the other day. He's a Bernie Sanders fan now, saying, "Well, a lot of people are supporting socialism, So de Blasio is almost just coming out as an unabashed socialist now versus a fake Democrat. So I mean, they all use the Democratic Party because they're too afraid to say they're socialists and communists.
Okay.
That's another show for another time.
Well, you know, that's not the Mike and Abe show. That's the, you know, the political hour, you know.
This is the I Hate Uber show. So let's talk about Uber for half.
Well, you know, I got a phone call the other day. Well, not a phone call. I got an email, and I wound up talking to some guy on the phone. This guy thinks that the brokers will continue to slash prices to the medallion owners. Or payments, I should say, to the medallion owners, until it reaches a point where the medallion owners will beg them to buy their medallion for $50,000.
Well, has it gotten to the point where you're paying your broker, or your broker still paying you?
It's getting close to that middle. There's the line in the middle where neither one is paying either one, okay?
Right. It's like every time you see the mailbox, dear valued medallion owner, but the streets are very good. If you're sitting in a cab and driving that cab, it's not horrible. I mean, it improved a lot. So I don't know what happens between the medallion owner who leases his medallion in retirement, and the cab who's doing well on the streets. I mean, we could do better, but it's better than it was. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we're just feeling it more because it was such a horrible year last year.
Well, let me tell you what I think is going to happen, okay? And this is for all you medallion owners out there, and I could be right and I could be wrong, okay? You know, the prices, that the amounts that you have been getting paid by your brokers have been going down, down, and down with no recovery, okay? I think it will reach a point, you know. Here's the fact. The taxis are out there in force. Is that correct, Mike?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, they're coming back.
The taxis are making pretty much as much money as they ever made. Is that correct, Mike?
For the last month they have, and the fleets are getting their cars out. So
okay. Well, what's going to happen is, you know, with the drivers returning, if the brokers don't start putting the prices back somewhere where they were, you know, before all of this nonsense started happening, other brokers right. will pop up and compete with them.
Well, I'm wondering why that hasn't happened now. I mean, I don't know what you would think the market would adjust, and the drivers are making money, and they want cabs. Eventually, the guys want to expand his operation because he's not buying anything. He's just bringing in medallions.
Well, that's what I think is going to happen. I think that either the brokers will have to turn around and start competing with each other the way they used to, or new brokers will step in and say, well, if they're not going to pay him the amount that they have to, they
well,
will.
Well, I mean, now the money comes in automatically on computers. So
right.
It's not like you're just stranded, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not seeing this from the inside out. I'm seeing this from the outside in. All right.
This is true.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
offsite. You're seeing this offsite. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me, Mike, how was your weekend? You know, your week, this past week in the taxi.
Not bad. I mean, I had a couple of personal things I had to do, which drew me away from driving. I had a dentist appointment and blah, blah, blah. But the days I was driving, it was good. So, I mean, but we do need a fare increase because the fare is so cheap, especially the JFK nonsense. $52, you get stuck in traffic for an hour and a half because there's no, I don't know what Cuomo's doing with the Van Wyck. It's just like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been finished 5 years ago. And you get all these big traffic problems and you're stuck on a flat rate. And the only reason we have a flat rate, because you had a few bad cabbies who were ripping off people at JFK, but you have the GPS. You can tell who's paying what, and if they keep ripping people off, you throw them out. There's only about maybe 20 or 30 guys at JFK now who are just probably like degenerate gamblers and rip people off. Everybody else is straight, and everybody else has to suffer with a cheap taxi fare because of a few morons. So we really have to get a fare increase, and they had this whole driver shortage with the Uber nonsense. That's what they had to do, get a fare increase, put more money in the driver pocket. There's all this mumbo-jumbo about apps and this and that. Give the guy a fare increase. Why is everything so complicated? So, Abe, what's up with you?
What's up with me? I don't drive anymore. You know that, okay? You know, I
know that.
You know, you're my connection to what's going on, all right? You and a few other people.
Other people. You're seeing other people?
Well, I talked to other drivers. They call me, actually. We have our friend Mohammed. I want to say hello to Mohammed. He knows who he is.
Hey, Mohammed, how you doing?
Okay. You know, he says he sounded very upbeat the last time I spoke to him about 5-6 days ago.
Well, his father had a deal where they wanted to penalize him. They wanted to fine him $10,000, basically, for having a heart attack. What happened with that?
Well, I tell you, he paid his fines, and I'm glad you bring that point up, because the TLC has now passed a rule saying that owners don't have to drive anymore. Okay?
See, I don't know. I mean, they don't have to drive at all?
They don't have to drive at all. In other words, they're just like the mini fleets, okay? If you want, you could just lease out your car, lease out your medallion, and supervise, you know, be a manager, okay? Or drive sometimes like I used to do. I used to drive sometimes and not, and other times lease my car out to drivers, okay? But here's the thing that I want to know. Don't you think that now that they've sanely passed this rule that they should refund all of these tens of thousands of dollars that they sucked out of these medallion owners because they couldn't drive for reasons such as illness. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's disgusting. They really do have some disgusting people working at the taxi commission. I don't know where they got these people from, but they're sadistic. It's almost like they're sick. I mean, they're just how can they possibly find a cab driver $5,000, $10,000, $25,000 for whatever the offense is? It's beyond me why any fine with the taxi commission should be more than it shouldn't be more than $255.
Well, you know the problem that Muhammad had, that his father, he was very ill, and he couldn't drive.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, to think that there was no provisions in the rule, you know, even look, it wasn't totally unfair to say that a medallion owner should drive, but you know, there was no provision in the rule for illness.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you can't drive if you're sick.
Well, I mean, the other problem is it's a safety issue, because if the rule is you can't drive when you're sick, then guess what? Guys are going to keep driving while they're sick.
That's right.
So it's very weird, you know?
Yeah, okay. So you know, Muhammad paid several thousand dollars out in fines for his father, who passed away. Okay?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, that money should be refunded. That's my feeling.
Should be refunded with interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they got a lawsuit or whatever, but anyway, I got to go to work. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about next week, so get well.
Are you driving today? You're driving today.
Yes, I'm driving later on today. And Taxi Dave, he's on Sunday nights at
8 o'clock.
And he also is going to have this on 7:10 a.m. in New York City. And he's going to have an interview, he says, with this cabbie who got his face slashed by the losers.
Oh, that should be interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's a trooper to come on the show after getting your face slashed.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and the other thing, he said the guys weren't like kids; they were in their like 19 and looked like they were in their 20s, like young men.
Well, they were old enough to know better.
They're old enough to know better, and he said two got out and one slashed them in the face, and horrible. And I got to start putting some of the blame on Mayor de Blasio and Police Commissioner Bratton. You got to round these guys up. You got to get them off the street.
I don't blame them for the crime. I just blame them for not, you know, being around, you know, not having enough police out there to see that this stuff doesn't happen.
Well, the thing I can blame them for is the fact they were poo-pooing it and saying, these are just random acts. No, it's not a random act.
What's the difference?
It's a gang initiation.
What's the difference?
It's a big difference.
It was an act of violence. Okay.
It's an organized crime. They should call in the FBI if they can't do this job. That's
all right.
Nuts.
Okay, Mike, I want you to go to work. I want you to make a lot of money. And I can't listen to the Taxi Dave show tonight because I'll be on the road. I have something I have to do, but I'll be recording it, and I'll certainly listen to it tomorrow morning.
Friday,
okay, everybody. We'll see you next Friday with a brand new show.